Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Morgan Klein, full-time mom, personal trainer, co-founder, and COO of Burn Bootcamp. I'm here to bring you a strong dose of hot topics such as nutrition, fitness, self-help, style, entrepreneurship, motherhood, and so much more. I strive to inspire you to live your life with greater balance, vitality, and empowerment. So grab a mug and join me for a cup of coffee and kettlebells. What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Coffee and Kettlebells. Thanks so much for joining us today. We are going to talk about a hot topic that many of us women struggle with, and that is bloating. So I know that bloating is not a glamorous topic to discuss, but it is something that we all struggle with. So, you know, it's uncomfortable, it's not fun, but I truly believe it can be avoided. You may think that we're just bloated, it's part of being a female, maybe it's that time of the month, but generally, it's caused by something that could be a symptom of a larger problem. So today, I want to share with you some foods that cause bloating that you can be aware of in your diet. And if eliminated, you may find your belly bloat to disappear. So number one on the offender list is gluten. Gluten is a big one. You may have a gluten sensitivity or intolerance that's causing inflammation in your stomach. You may want to consider cutting out all the foods in your diet that contain gluten. So that's your breads, your pastas, your crackers. So if you find that those foods are very heavy in your diet, you either need to cut them out or you need to purchase the gluten-free version. But also some things that gluten lingers in that we don't know of is seasoning mixes, sauces, salad dressings, condiments. You know, a lot of that stuff has gluten in it. So there are so many that have that sensitivity and intolerance. So most of the time you're going to see the labels labeled as gluten-free and you know that those are safe items to purchase. But a lot of the stuff that you need to be eating in your diet, that whole food diet, is naturally gluten-free. The best way to really determine what's causing that bloating is to do somewhat of an elimination diet. So I would start with eliminating gluten for, you know, a good couple weeks from your diet and see how your belly reacts to that and if the bloating is still there after you're eating. Because if it goes away with just the removal of gluten, then you know that you may have a sensitivity or an intolerance to it. The next big one is dairy. So 75% of the entire population is lactose intolerant, but most people don't even realize that they have this intolerance. What this means is that our bodies are incapable of digesting lactose, which is the type of sugar found in dairy. When dairy cannot be digested, it causes inflammation in our body, most essentially in our gut, right? So if you have that dairy intolerance, you may also be experiencing gas, cramping, diarrhea, along with the bloating. Lactose intolerance is something that you can develop later in your life because as we age, our body stops producing as much of the digestive enzymes needed to break down the lactose. So, you know, maybe dairy was a food that you previously didn't have any issues with, and now that you suddenly are, that doesn't mean that just because you didn't have a problem, you don't have a problem now. This is another one that I would take some time to eliminate from your diet, see how your body reacts. I know when I have dairy, I bloat. And so I don't even have a lot of dairy now. So when I do, I'm ultra sensitive to it. Try removing the dairy. Again, look for everything in your diet that contains milk or lactose. All right, the third culprit is sweeteners, okay? Most specifically, artificial sweeteners. So artificial sweeteners are man-made chemicals and toxins that are very foreign to our bodies, okay? Our body does not know how to break down, digest, metabolize any of these artificial sweeteners. So therefore, it just wreaks havoc on our gut. Most artificial sweeteners travel through your digestive system undigested and pass out of your body completely unchanged, which ultimately disrupts the balance of your gut bacteria and causes you to bloat. So not only does this artificial sweetener cause, you know, a lot of hormone disruption in our body, it also really, really, really makes our gut unhealthy. So we have to be careful on the artificial sweeteners and where they can be found, because they are lingering all over in our food. If you see products that are low sugar or no sugar, or even low fat, anything that's kind of like zero calories, 100 calories, most likely they're stripping that food with all the good nutrition that makes up the calories and they're replacing it with artificial, okay? And they've got to put artificial sweeteners in it to make it taste good. So a lot of the coined healthier packaged food that we see out there is riddled with artificial sweeteners. So I'm sorry to break it to you, but that healthy 250 calorie pint of ice cream is actually not that healthy. Most of those sugar-free options just don't contain the right nutrition, and they contain a lot of fake stuff. So we have to be careful. I think the most common names for artificial sweeteners is kind of what we know as Equal or Sweet and Low or NutraSweet or any of those little packages that we see at the restaurants or even outside of the Starbucks. That is the fake artificial sweeteners, okay? Those are the common names for them. But what we also need to look out for is the scientific names for these artificial sweeteners lingering in our food. So you're checking your ingredient label for aspartame, sorbitol, sucralose, xylitol, sugar alcohols, erythritol, glycerol. So you're looking in your food labels for some of those names that I just mentioned, but really I want you to also look at not just your foods, but also what you're sweetening your coffee with, and also the chewing gum that you're putting in your mouth. More times than not, that is going to be riddled with artificial sweeteners, okay? So make sure that you are paying attention to that, because a lot of artificial sweeteners will cause us to bloat. So a good alternative for this is stevia. This is something that is still going to provide you that lower calorie or no calorie option, but stevia is not artificial, okay? It comes from the earth. So stevia is a great alternative for these artificial sweeteners. However, a lot of the big brand names have caught on to this, and so they've now made brands like Stevia and the Raw, Truvia, and they mix their stevia with artificial sweeteners. So that isn't much better. So you now have to be careful when you're buying your stevia, because you need to make sure if there's any extra ingredients that the product contains before purchasing. Again, you want to avoid those sweeteners, even if it's mixed with a little bit of stevia, because it's still going to cause that belly bloat. Okay, our next culprit is FODMAPs. Okay, so I'm not sure if any of you guys have heard of this, but FODMAPs is another reason why you may be bloated. Because your body is sensitive to foods containing FODMAPs. This is an acronym for a type of short-chain carbohydrate. So foods containing those FODMAPs are poorly absorbed in your intestines and rapidly ferment in your gut, causing you to bloat. So many common fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, and other cooking ingredients are high FODMAP, as well as some dairy products and all gluten products. So if you find yourself still eating healthy, like I just mentioned, a lot of common fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds, obviously those are healthy foods, but if you're still eating those and finding that bloat, you could be very sensitive to it. If you think that FODMAP is causing you to bloat, I would highly recommend looking into which foods are high in your FODMAP. That's an easy Google search. And eliminate them for about, 4 to 8 weeks. Then restart reintroducing, okay? So you're going to eliminate those foods, and then you're going to reintroduce them one at a time so you can observe if they upset your stomach or not, because you don't necessarily need to cut all of them out. Some may be more bothersome than others. So that's why I would eliminate which ones you are eating and then introduce them back one at a time. I know that's extremely tedious, but if you notice that a certain fruit is causing you to bloat and you can just remove that item from your intake and it takes away from your bloating, it's going to be worth that time to invest into really testing out what bloats your system and what doesn't. So those four things that I just talked about are the main culprits, but your bloating can also be a sign of a much greater problem. You know, it may be that warning sign from your body telling you that your gut's unhealthy. You want to listen to that warning sign. You need to take control of your gut health, because it's not just about the bloat and the how you look and how much you weigh. It's also the weakened immunity, anxiety, depression, mood swings, decreased energy level, aches and pains. Again, if we're causing inflammation in our body, that's not good. Our digestive system is not working properly. All of that stuff can stem right from your gut and the foods that you put into your body. So when your gut's out of balance, everything else in your body is too. I did a podcast. I highly suggest listening to it. It's episode 25 called Is Your Gut Healthy? And Why It Matters to Fix It. I met with Dr. Jennifer Noonan, and she informed us all and she educated us all so much on the importance of a healthy gut and how it impacts not just the way we feel, but also that immunity, that mood swing, that depression, that anxiety. A lot of the other things that so many of us may be struggling with is simply caused by healing our gut and rebalancing it. So I would definitely listen to that. Other causes of bloating might be from eating too much salt, drinking too much coffee, alcohol. If you're eating a diet high in carbs and processed foods, eating too fast, which is my problem because I have two kids and anytime I can eat in peace, I feel like I'm scarfing my food down. I definitely want to try to slow that down. Eating too fast is a big one. Overeating, eating late at night, eating raw vegetables, or, you know, chronic stress. So that's a big one too. Chronic stress can really disrupt our entire system. So if you find that you are constantly stressed, you know, take a step back and really identify what in your life is stressing you out and work backwards on how you can start to combat some of that stress because our overall health is suffering. So I know this is a long list of things that can be causing bloat and it might seem overwhelming. I believe the best way to start is just by starting to document what you eat and how you feel. Again, I know that takes some time, but there's a lot of great food logs out there, MyFitnessPal, Lose It, or just even your notes, you know, kind of jot down what you ate and then how you felt afterwards. Because when you start to see a pattern of the way you feel after certain foods you eat, that's going to definitely give you a starting point of what to eliminate. You know, whether it's gluten, whether it's dairy, whether it's a lot of artificial sweeteners, like even make sure you're tracking how much gum you're eating. Another thing that people will find relief from is supplementing with probiotics and digestive enzymes. So we talked about this in that podcast I did about a healthy gut. We talked about pre and probiotics. But that might be something you need to look into as well. If you know you're eating healthy and if you know you're putting the right foods in your body, you know, you may just need to rebalance that gut with some probiotics and help with the digestive enzymes. I personally love, actually, I don't love this, I actually hate it, but it works. Drinking a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar each night before going to bed. So if I'm extremely bloated, I'll eat an early dinner and then I'll go 12 to 14 hours without eating again to really give my stomach a break and give my stomach some time to digest the food that I've been putting in it. But that apple cider vinegar doesn't taste all that good, but it really has so many benefits. And one of them is the decrease of bloating for me. So if you have bloating, especially chronic bloating, I highly suggest speaking with your doctor because, like I said, that could be a red flag and it could be your body telling you there's a deeper issue. And you have to be your own advocate for your health. And so you have to get those answers. You know, if you're not getting them from your doctor, find a new doctor, because if you don't feel right and something's just not right and it's changing by the foods you're eating, you need to dig deeper. You need to get tests done. Check your hormones, check, you know, your food sensitivities, check your gut, see what's going on in there, because we only get one life to live. So we want to live it with, you know, the best feeling and the best vitality and the most energy. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and we will talk to you later. Thank you so much for sipping on a cup of coffee and kettlebells with me today. To get your daily dose, be sure to like our Facebook page at Coffee and Kettlebells. And follow me on Instagram at morgan.a.klein. If you have any questions you'd like answered at the end of my next podcast or have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see featured on the show, please reach out to me at coffeeandkettlebells@burnbootcamp.com. If you love this episode of the podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review on the iTunes store and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me next time for a refill of coffee and kettlebells.